Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. As you're turning there, I do want to remind you that this afternoon I continue my study in Philippians chapter 2. So I want to encourage you to join us for that. And then also, we would ordinarily be scheduled to be having the Lord's Supper this afternoon, but we have moved it on a Sunday because next month we have five weeks in the month, so we have an extra Sunday. But also, next Sunday, our brother Marcus will be leading the devotion at the Lord's table. So just pray for our brother as he prepares for that, and be encouraged and look forward to that. Well, Proverbs chapter 4 is where I'll be reading from, and from verse 18 and 19. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Just two verses. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. May God be pleased to bless the reading of Holy Scripture. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask you for your help this morning. We are very weak and needy creatures. And we pray for your Spirit's power. We pray for hearts that are alert, minds that are attentive. But more importantly, we pray that we would hear the voice of your Son, Lord Jesus. You said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so we pray that we would hear your voice and we would follow you. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us and instruct our hearts so that we may grow in grace and grow in righteousness. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message this morning is Walking with God, or a walk with God. And we've been working through Proverbs and looking at various aspects in Proverbs. And as I mentioned to you, I'll be spending quite a bit of time in Proverbs. But this particular passage really struck me in my praying and seeking of the Lord's face. And the Lord really pressed this text upon me. Now, when we look at this text, we think of the pathway of the righteous described here. Solomon very descriptively gives it to us as a sun, like a sun, the sun rising and piercing the darkest watches of the night, growing brighter until the perfect day. Solomon also, in these two verses, compares the path of the just like the shining sun, and then the way of the wicked like darkness. And in that way, he says, sinners don't know what makes them stumble. So there are these two paths set before us. And one could say that they are the two paths on which all of humanity finds itself on. It can be a path of the just, which is the path of the righteous. The narrow road that leads to death, or the way of the wicked, the highway of the wicked, one could call it. And so we have in this text these two metaphors of a pathway of righteousness and the way of the wicked. But then we also have in this text a metaphor of light shining brighter unto perfection and the way of the wicked, which is darkness, confusion, stumbling, and destruction. And Solomon loves to contrast these things before us. So when we look at the contrast of light and darkness, this is something that is not unique to Solomon, is it? It's right throughout the scriptures. One can just go to the book of Genesis and see already there something of how God created the world, and there, even there, is this contrast of light and darkness. In Genesis chapter 1, it says this, verses 1 to 4, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now listen to this, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. There's a picture of just chaos, a picture of a formless void, right? And then we read, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And so, light, creation. It's good. Darkness, formless void. These are very powerful illustrations. And though those are physical illustrations, they carry through spiritually throughout the scriptures, don't they? When we come to the New Testament, we find the metaphors of light and darkness being used to describe the character of God, who God is, what His nature is like. And then when we think of darkness, darkness describes the way of the sinner, his fallen nature, his stumbling, his destructive course. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we read this. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So there really is, there can be no blending of light and darkness. There's light and there's darkness. And if we claim the one thing, if we claim to walk with God, but we live in the darkness, we lie. So what does that have to do with this passage? Well, I just say that by way of introduction, as we prepare our hearts to look at the pathway of the just and the way of the wicked, and what makes the two pathways so different, and how they end up in such different places. So yeah, I have an outline in my bulletin if you'd like to follow with me. I have 4 points, and really they are 3 questions and 1 statement at the end. But under the 3 questions, I have 3 answers. So the first question with regards to this text regarding the path of the just is, what is the path of the just? What is the path of the just? And remember, the word just is just another name. It's a synonym for the path of the righteous. What is the path of the just? When we look at Proverbs 4 verse 18, let me give you these 3 answers with regards to that question. The path of the just or the righteous is a pathway, says Solomon, of integrity and security. Integrity and security. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9 says this: he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. And so what is the man of integrity? We've spent some time on this a couple of weeks ago. The man of integrity is a faithful man. He is a trustworthy man. He is a man of character. He is a man of honor. He is a man of purity. He is a man who fears God. He loves God. He walks with God. Therefore, according to this proverb, his way is secure. On the other hand, the evil man who does not know God or love Him or fear Him or care for Him, his way, no matter how noble it may seem, is really a way of perversion. And it will be exposed eventually. Let me also say this: the path of the just is the path of salvation in Jesus Christ. It is the path of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, I have asserted this and I'll assert it again. Ultimately, I believe Jesus is the righteous Son that is pictured here in the book of Proverbs. All of this points to who Christ is. And so it is only by faith in Him that we can know the path of integrity and security in life. How can I say that? Because these are the very words that come from the lips of Jesus, right? John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said this to Thomas: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only pathway to God is through Christ. And then in John 10, we read this. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so the path of the just is the path of trusting and walking by faith in Jesus Christ. And in him, everyone who has believed and received God's free and full forgiveness has received by God and through God and by his glorious working of the Spirit. He's been made a new creature. He's been given a new heart. And he walks in this pathway of righteousness. He walks in security and integrity. Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Speaking about faith in Christ, he says, for in it the righteousness of God, this he's speaking of the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Jesus said this in John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And so let's be clear, friends, we're thinking about this question, what is the path of the just? Well, the path of the just or the righteous is a pathway of integrity and security. It is the path of trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Christ that we live and move and have our being. That is how we walk in integrity. That is where our security is found. We are secure because we are in Christ. We are secure because we're in Christ. And we're righteous because we're in Christ. But let me give you my second answer. The path of the just is a pathway of integrity and security. But the pathway of the just is the pathway of truth and wisdom. It's the pathway of truth and wisdom. When we walk with God, when we abide in Christ, God gives to us through his Son the Holy Spirit, the helper that comes alongside us. And as we live by faith upon Christ, this is what the scripture testifies, that we are being what? Transformed from one degree of glory to the next. You see, God doesn't save us in our sins. He saves us from our sins. And in this journey in which we walk with God, abiding in Christ, we are on this pathway of the just. And guess what, beloved? It's glorious. We are ever shining brighter and brighter until that perfect day. But that doesn't happen in osmosis. There are means that God uses to help us to grow in this pathway of righteousness. Let me give you a few of those means. Among these means are the written revelation of God, the scriptures. Here we have the testimony of the law and the prophets. And now the Gospels and the Epistles. This is for the Christian the only infallible rule of faith and practice. The Christian has everything to do with the Scriptures. They are superior over everything. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 says this, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, the Christian may have an interest in things like tradition, and there's nothing wrong with tradition per se, but they're not our authority. The scriptures are our authority. We have God's general revelation, but that is not sufficient enough to lead us, to show us the path of the just. Only the scriptures do. In them are contained all the covenants. They all testify to God's salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. We all know that Peter had a wonderful experience of the transfiguration. He saw Jesus. He saw the glory of Christ, right? But what's wonderful about Peter's testimony, and he writes it down, is that even his experience of the transfiguration, he brings under the authority of the Scriptures. He says to us clearly that it is the Scriptures that have full authority. This is what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is the sure testimony of the Word of God, God bringing the Scriptures to His people. So it's important for us to understand in terms of the path of the just that we are brought into truth and wisdom, and we're brought into truth and wisdom through the Scriptures. But not only are we brought into truth and wisdom through the Scriptures, who are our superior authority, we also have the witness and the testimony of God's saints. These are those whom God has called and given to His Son. These are those who walk with us. These are our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Listen to what Proverbs 13 verse 20 says. He who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And so as we're growing in the Scriptures, we're growing in one another. Paul says, brethren, I myself am confident that you are competent to counsel one another. You are competent to bring the Word of God to bear upon one another's lives. The Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit uses one another. You've all heard the phrase, lone rangers are dead rangers. We cannot walk this Christian life alone, beloved. We cannot walk this Christian life alone. We need believers. We need the body. We are all marching to Zion. And God has made it that we need one another. And not only do we have the witness of the Spirit and the Scriptures, but we have the witness of the body, the brethren among us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see what? The day approaching. That glorious day of perfection. Paul speaks about the inheritance of the saints. The inheritance of Christ and the saints. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, he says this, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. Now let me pause for a minute and just say this. You cannot be on the pathway of the just shining brighter until the best is in Christ. It is an abnormal thing for a Christian not to desire to be with God's people, to be in the church, to be in fellowship. You know, one of the things I remember, I used to be a Roman Catholic. I was brought up a Roman Catholic. And even as a child, I remember going to the Catholic church. The minute the service was over, 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, the lights were off and everybody was gone. And it always struck me as a born-again believer how the body loves to be together, loves to be in fellowship, that the deacons have to flick the switch lights off to get the people to go home because they're enjoying fellowship with one another. Beloved, don't miss this important truth. Christ is preparing you, but He's preparing you in the body. And the body is the bride of Christ. He's preparing us. The Spirit is preparing us to be received up to glory. And Christ will present the body spotless and without blemish. before the Father. Listen to what Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 to 7, verse 7 to 9, chapter 19, verse 7 to 9 says. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed, listen, in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you're a child of God, that's where you're headed. That's where I'm headed. And gloriously and wonderfully, we're headed there together. So this is the pathway of the just, like the gleaming sun shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. What is the path of the just? The path of the just or the righteous is a pathway of integrity and security. It is a pathway of truth and wisdom. But let me also say this. The pathway of the just is fleeing from evil. And in fleeing from evil, God is preserving the soul. God is preserving the soul. Thomas Watson said this, the Christian flies to heaven with two wings, faith and repentance. Faith and repentance. And the Christian life is a life of turning to Christ in faith and repentance, turning from sin, turning to Christ daily, momentarily. Proverbs 16 verse 17 says this, the highway of the upright is to do what? To depart from evil. To depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. And this is the wonder of the gospel, beloved, as I said to you earlier on. We have been delivered from the guilt of sin. But we are also in the process by faith being delivered by the power of sin. By the power of sin. By faith in Christ. Looking to Christ. Abiding in Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19 we read this. Nevertheless the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let anyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Anyone who claims to know Christ and walk with Christ but loves their sin is a liar. Is a liar. This is what the gospel does. It transforms the sinner in his heart. One brother said this, and I can't remember who it was who said it. He said this, God changes our wanters. He changes our wanters. He changes our hearts. We don't want sin. We want righteousness. We want purity. We want closeness with God. If that's not there, something is amiss. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 8 says, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. And this is the glorious thing about the gospel, is that it is radical in nature. God does not leave the sinner in his sin. He does not leave the sinner in his darkness. He calls him out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it's the same language Paul uses in the Greek when he speaks of this in Colossians about creation, about God creating out of darkness, bringing into light. Listen to this. Colossians 1, 13 to 14, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, or transformed us from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Literally, we were resurrected, beloved. We were recreated. We are new creations. We have new hearts. And that is why it is such a contradiction to see someone who claims to be a Christian living in sin and living and lapping up the things of this world. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I mean, you cannot get any more clearer statement than that. There's no ambiguity about that. And so let's understand the path of the just is the way of salvation in Christ Jesus. It's the path of integrity and security. It is a walking with the wise and encouraging one another to keep pressing upward and onward to our inheritance in Christ. It is a turning from sin. So what is the path of the just? I've just answered that. But let's go to the next question. How does the path of the just shine brighter unto the perfect day? Again, I have three answers. How does the Lord provide wisdom in knowledge and understanding and store up wisdom for the upright and shield those whose walk is upright, guarding the path of justice? How does he preserve the way of his saints? How does he preserve the way of his saints? How do we know? How do we know we're going to get there? Well, he does this in a few key ways. I've mentioned the Word of God already. But you know, beloved, we can read the Word of God and it can be an entirely intellectual exercise. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You study the Scriptures because you believe in them, you have life, but these are those that testify of me." So the Scriptures are not an end in themselves. The Scriptures lead us to Christ. But we need the Scriptures, friends. And we need the Scriptures to penetrate our hearts and our minds. Psalm 119 verse 30 says this: "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." So don't tell me that you are growing in the pathway of the just, that you are being transformed, if you don't love God's word and meditate upon God's word. In the New Testament, we read what Peter says about salvation, how Christ comes to us through the word. The instrument is the word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, 24 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. I have no problem with Christians reading good Christian books. I have a whole library full of them. But there is one book that trumps them all. There's one book that trumps them all. It's the Bible. Because it's in the Bible, it's in the Scriptures that I have fellowship with Christ. You see, the Bible is living. It is a double-edged sword, capable of dividing bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Nothing in all creation is hidden from before the eyes of God in the Scriptures. We read this in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, speaking about Jesus. But I want you to see how Jesus is related to the living Word of God, because he is the living Word of God. He says this, speaking of Christ, who was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. It is in the Scriptures that we meet Christ. It is in the Scriptures that we hear the words of Jesus, that beginning from the law and the prophets, he opened up to them all the things pertaining to himself. You want to know what the central theme of the Bible is? It is Christ. And I want to remind you, beloved, that as we come to the Scriptures and we learn Christ, we have access to all the wisdom of God. But Paul says to the believers in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. And so, beloved, we need to understand the Lord is the one who provides wisdom, making the path brighter through the Scriptures and through bringing Christ to us in the Scriptures. And what's glorious about that is that that wisdom in Christ bears the fruit of an upright and a godly walk in this dark world. Proverbs 15:21 says this: folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Then listen to these words: but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Now let me say this to you, beloved. If you are on that pathway of righteousness, of the just pathway growing brighter and brighter every day, and you are in fellowship with Christ, you are hungry for more. You are not content. Not content with the basic knowledge of Christianity. I'm always amazed that I come across Christians who are content with the basic knowledge of Christianity, and they don't want anyone else to disturb their so-called peace they have. They don't want to, oh, please don't hit me with that theology. They're just not interested in growing. That is not the way of the Christian. The way of the Christian, the way of the child of God, is he wants to know more. He wants to grow more. And here's the interesting thing. As he does, as he walks in the light, he realizes how utterly different to the world he is. And he realizes that there is a war going on around him. That he is living in a time of war. He is in conflict, that the world hates him. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you remember the more and more Jesus spoke, and more he unfolded the will of God and explained the things of God, the more and more the world hated him. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 to 13 talks about the Christian growing in the knowledge of God. And he says this: for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Beloved, do you ask that question? Does that concern you every day? Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord? Do you want to know? Because there are times when God exposes that to you and he touches the closest idols of your heart, and you must part with them. You must. Finding out what is the acceptable will of the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And then he says this: for whatever makes manifest is light. You see, friends, that is the trajectory and the pathway of the just. This is the hope that they live in. And they understand it's the grace of God that causes them to differ. And they don't judge and look down their nose at sinners who are lost in their sin. But they pray for them. And they long that such sinners would come to know the Christ who they know, the Christ who has set them free from sin and darkness and death. And they longed to see sinners saved. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 to 3 speaks of the righteous and how, because of what Christ has done in them, they have reached out to the world. They've shown the world Christ. They've proclaimed the gospel. Daniel speaks of those who are wise, and they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. They don't keep it to themselves. They want to share it, even with those who are lost in the world. They want to bring the gospel to the hearts of the unsaved. And even though they're rejected and spurned, they hold forth the word of life because they're filled with hope that Christ can save and does save sinners. Well, we've seen how does the just path shine brighter. The Lord provides wisdom and makes the path brighter. And he does that in the wisdom of Christ. And that bears fruit of an upright and a godly walk in this dark world. But finally, that is done by the faithful testimony of God's people who faithfully walk in integrity and righteousness. You see, these people have found the truth, and they will never sell it. They have found the pearl of great price, and they will never sell it. And though they may be the poorest people on this planet, they have found Christ, and he has saved them. And they will be faithful. Proverbs 28 verse 6 says, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich." I want to encourage you, beloved. Be faithful to Christ. Don't trade the precious things of God for the measly bowls of stew and the gruel of this world. Don't give in to compromise. Don't give in to a bitter spirit in this age. Listen to this, Philippians 2:14 to 16. "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life." Don't trade your faith for the pragmatism of this world. Don't go on the pathway of ease. Don't be pulled aside into bypass meadow and be distracted by the trinkets and the baubles of this world. Be faithful to Christ. Simple, childlike devotion to the Son of God. Well, let me move on. I have one more question, and then I'll get to my statement about the wicked. And it's an important question. How do we know we are on the just path, brightening to the perfect day? How do we know? How do you know? Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." Well, there are three ways in which I can say we know. There are many more, but I'll give you these three. We know because we are following and discerning the voice of Christ. We're listening to him. In John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, Jesus says this, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, but they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now you see, beloved, let me say to you, We believe in experiential Christianity. We do experience our faith. But our authority is not experience. You may come and share your experience with me. I don't know. I have no reason to doubt you. I believe you as a brother. But your experience is not my experience. And our experiences differ vastly, don't they? But we have the scriptures. And irrespective of whether you've had this experience and I haven't had this experience, we have the scriptures. We have the testimony of God. It's the same with tradition. Tradition may have great value for us. We can learn from us, from it. It can teach us. But tradition must be held to the standard of the scriptures. Is this true to the scriptures? Does this lead me to Christ? This is the voice of Christ, friends. Listening to the word of God. Abiding in the gospel. Not being distracted. The path of the just is the narrow path. It is the yoke of Christ. It is an easy yoke. It is learning from Him who is humble and lowly in heart. It is the faith. It is resting in Christ. Job 17 verse 19 says this. That the righteous will hold to his way and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. We know and we follow the voice of Christ. And when men tell us otherwise, we are like the Apostle Peter. Judge for yourselves who we should trust. We trust in God. We listen to God. We listen to Christ. He is our rule. He is our authority. And everything we need is in the scriptures. And all of these things in the scriptures speak of Him. So we know because we are following and discerning the voice of Christ. And we are becoming like Him. Whoever says he follows Him ought to walk as He walked. Right? But secondly, we know we are walking in this path of the just because our lives are having an impact on others. And the child of God is walking in the light, and that light is shining and piercing the dark. You know what's going to happen, friends? God is going to use that man or that woman or that child. Now that may be, for some, the aroma of death. There may be persecution as a result of that. But remember what our Lord Jesus said about suffering. If they persecuted me, they persecute you. And our Lord Jesus told us very plainly that in this world we will have trouble. And so if we're suffering, that is no proof that we're being unfaithful to God. Rather, it is proof that we are being faithful and we are being truthful to Christ. And we are not willing to compromise with sin. Look at Joseph. Joseph was being persecuted. Potiphar's wife was trying to take advantage of him. But rather than dishonor God, he stood firm and he trusted God. And he said, I cannot do this evil thing against my God. This is the heart of the Christian. Beloved, one of the things that is beautiful about the heart of a Christian is that he doesn't think about himself, but he thinks about others above himself. And that is why he speaks the truth and he will not compromise the principles on which he stands, the gospel principles. And even though he may lose much by way of doing that in terms of this world, he will gain a thousandfold. Remember what Peter said to Jesus? We've left homes, brothers and sisters, we've left businesses. Lord, what will be the outcome of that? And Jesus said, you will receive a thousandfold more in trusting and resting in me. Think about your family. How important is a godly life to your family? How important is faithfulness? Faithfulness in the gospel. Faithfulness to Christ, to your family. Proverbs 27, and I've preached on it before. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The third thing I can say with regards to this is that we know we are walking in the path of the just because we are no longer what we once were. We are no longer what we once were. I may not be what I should be, but I am not what I was, and I am what I am by the grace of God. And there is growth, and there is transformation taking place in my life. The things which I so easily did in the early years of my life, those are things which now I detest and I reject. Why? Well, this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm being transformed, beloved. But here's the wonderful thing. Even though I'm being transformed, I am never complacent. I am never complacent. The child of God is not complacent. He wants more of Christ. He's tasted. He wants more. He lays hold of Christ. Paul says it this way in Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is a holy violence that is exerted in the heart of the child of God through the power of the Spirit. It is a violence to lay hold of the kingdom of heaven. More, I want more of Christ. I am not content with this. I want more. I forget what lies behind. I press on. Why, friends? Why? Because heaven has begun in us. And its glorious, brilliant, radiant light. And it will not be satisfied until it is realized in Christ. Until it is realized in Christ on that perfect day. So what is the path of the just? How does the just path shine bright unto the perfect day? And how do we know that we're on the path, the just path brightening to the perfect day? I hope that I have answered that in some way in your mind and your heart. But let me bring my message to a close with one final statement. And that is, what of the way of the wicked? Look at verse 90. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. It's so sad, beloved, because people who are lost don't know they're lost until the Spirit of God begins to work upon them and they come under the conviction of the preaching of the Word of God through the power of the Spirit. This is what the Scripture says about the wicked in John 3, 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. This is the way of the man who wants to walk independently from God. And it is a very dangerous pathway. It is a perilous pathway. It is a pathway of destruction. It is a pathway of blindness and confusion. And I want to speak to our young people. Some of you have been so privileged and blessed to grow up in a Christian home. Maybe in your heart and your mind, there has been this question of, I want my own independence. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. That is the pathway of darkness. That is the way of sin. That is the way of Satan. That is exactly what Satan whispered into the ear of Adam and Eve. Don't you know you too can be God? You can be independent. You can have your own way. And what did that lead to? Not just their fall, but it led to the fall of humanity. And it led to this terrible darkness upon men and women, sinners from age to age who have died in their sin and gone to hell and have stumbled and destroyed themselves. The life of anyone without God and without Christ is a way of darkness. They don't know what they stumble over, and it is a way of confusion. Even the very foundation of the earth for them is unstable. Listen to Psalm 82 verse 5. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Some of you may have heard the sermon or read the sermon by Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And Jonathan Edwards uses many different illustrations, but the one illustration that stuck with me with regards to this way of the dark, or the way of the wicked who stumble and they do not know what they stumble over in the dark, is that of the spider in a fireplace. Builds its web, its beautiful web, and it thinks it's so secure. And then someone starts a fire. And just like that, the web is consumed and the spider is devoured. My friend, if you do not have Christ, no matter how strong you think you are, you will fail and you will fall. Jesus said, even the wicked, when they think they have something, even what they think they have will be taken away. You may have friends. You may have accolades in this world. You may be adored in this world by everyone in the world. But when you close your eyes in death and you breathe your last, that is it. And all that remains for you is torment and judgment. And that is what the Word of God says. How do I know this, friends? Because it's in the Word. But our Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, because he doesn't want sinners to go there. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way leads to destruction. And then the proverb says this, the stiff-necked man, after many rebukes, is suddenly destroyed without warning. Without warning. Don't walk in darkness. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself. And one of the worst things about those who walk in darkness is that there are even people in the church who think they're right with God, but they walk in darkness because they don't love Christ. They serve themselves. And so you can have all the religion in the world, but if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. Let me ask you, the man on the cross, did he have religion? No, not in the sense of being a man who went to the church and a man who had a so-called Christian profession. No, he had Christ. And he was the first one who came through the gates of heaven with Christ after Christ had died. Matthew 7:21-23 says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And what is the will of the Father in heaven? Jesus said it very plainly to the Pharisees one day, who said, good teacher, what good thing must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus said this, these are the works of God, that you believe on the one whom God has sent. What must I do? Believe on Jesus. But I don't know how. Go to him. Without money, without anything in your hands, go to him. Throw yourself upon him. Throw yourself upon him. And he will give you faith. And he will enable you to believe. He will open your eyes and he will give you a new heart. Go to him. Look upon him. Believe on him. come to a close. But my friend, you know Christ. When you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our path. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. Walk with Christ, my friends. Are you walking with Him? Are you trusting Him? Or are you using Him? And using His church to serve yourself? Because the church is full of people like that. Philippians, Paul says this, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They live for their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Are you comfortable in this world? Think about this. Who set their mind on earthly things? Take your mind off earthly things. Repent of your sins and return to Christ. For Proverbs says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. There is mercy. There is mercy in Christ. Mercy for you. While you have breath and while you live, there is mercy. Come to Christ before it is too late. This is the path of the just, which is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that our hearts would be made tender under the preaching of your word. Perhaps your word has been like a hammer that has crushed that hardened stone, or like a fire that has melted that hardened heart. Oh, we pray, Lord, more than anything, that Christ would be seen, that we would remember the words of Peter, said he himself bore in his body our sins on the tree, so that we should die to sin and live to righteousness. By his stripes we are healed. Oh Lord, please save that which is lost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.